First off, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for that wonderful music. Wow.
Thank you very much.
I want to start off with a little story that someone sent me back in 2011. There was a young woman who had been diagnosed with a terminal illness and had been given 3 months to live by the doctors. So as she was getting her things in order, she contacted her pastor and had him come to her house to discuss certain aspects of her final wishes. She told him which song she wanted sung at the service. The last one we did would have been one of mine. She told him which songs, what scriptures she would like read, and what outfit she wanted to be buried in. Imagine that. Everything was in order, and the pastor was preparing to leave when the young woman suddenly remembered something very important to her. "There's one more thing," she said excitedly, and he said, "What's that?" "This is very important," said the young woman. "I want to be buried with a fork in my right hand." The pastor stood looking at the young woman and not knowing quite what to say. "That surprises you," she said, "doesn't it?" He said, "Well, to be honest, I'm puzzled by your request." The young woman explained, "My grandmother once told me this story, and from that time on, I have always tried to pass along its message to those I love and those who are in need of encouragement. In all my years of attending socials and dinners, I always remember that when the dishes of the main course were being cleared, someone would inevitably lean over and say, 'Keep your fork.' It was my favorite part because I knew that something better was coming, like velvety chocolate cake or deep dish apple pie. Something wonderful and with substance. So I just want people to see me there in that casket with a fork in my hand. And I want them to wonder, 'What's with the fork?' Then I want you to tell them, 'Keep your fork, because the best is yet to come.'" The pastor's eyes welled up with tears of joy as he hugged the young woman goodbye. He knew this would be one of the last times he would see her before her death. But he also knew that that young woman had a better grasp of heaven than he did. She had a better grasp of what heaven would be like than many people twice her age. With twice as much experience and knowledge, she knew that something better was coming. At the funeral, people were walking by the young woman's casket, and they saw the cloak she was wearing, the beautiful dress she had on, and the fork in her right hand. Over and over, the pastor heard the question, "What's with the fork?" And over, he smiled. During his message, the pastor told the people of the conversation he had with the young woman shortly before she died. He also told them about the fork and about what it symbolized to her. He told the people how he could not stop thinking about that fork and told them that they probably would have the same problem, not being able to stop thinking about it either. He was right. So the next time you get to a place, while you're striving to find a pastor, while you're praying to find a pastor, remember the best is yet to come. And don't forget to keep your fork. I'm done. I'm kidding. That was given to me by one of my employees 15 years ago. No more than that. Okay, so guess what? We're going to talk about a new pastor coming to town. With a new pastor coming on board at this congregation, it's imperative to be strong in the Lord. this new servant will have new ideas, new policies, new programs to build this church here in Cutbank, Montana. One of the hardest things that I dealt with as a director at the rescue mission was finding the right people for the right job at the right time. There was probably a year and a half we waited for somebody to come for one of the positions. It's even harder finding someone that's called to be your pastor. I know that you could lose hope, you could lose faith. But remember, great things are coming. So keep your fork. Be open to what they will have and be a humble servant. Our text today is in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And Paul says, pray for me also, that whenever I speak, may the words be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might declare it fearlessly as I should. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for the words this morning. I thank you for the reminder of Awana Kids, Awana Clubs. I thank you for the difference that they've made in my wife and my life, and especially our children. It is true, we need to start young and keep praying and teaching throughout our time while we're here on this earth. Amen. I read these verses concerning putting on the whole armor of God because indeed we need to be to equip ourselves to fight a battle that we ourselves are not able to win without the help of the Lord. We talk a lot as Christians about trusting in God. Jim Keisler spoke about it a couple weeks ago. I kind of added to it a little bit last week. We talk about taking a stand even when we're outnumbered and overwhelmed by an unseen but known enemy. We say that we are soldiers. Sometimes we even sing, onward Christian soldiers. The truth is, most people don't realize the battle they're in. And they have no idea the damage because of a war around them and in them. The damage that it can cause. The enemy of your soul attacks you in three ways. Through people, this world, through flesh, ourselves, and through temptation, which is Satan himself. The devil gets the blame most of the time, and we don't see problems in the other areas. Remember back in the 1960s, Flip Wilson? The devil made me do it! Since the day that you said yes to Jesus, there is a spiritual battle going on for your soul. The world and all its sin is trying to pull you back where the Lord has brought you out of. Your flesh is your old nature that is trying to pull you back to your old life. The devil tempts us, distracts us, discourages us, blinds us so that we don't realize the battle that's raging in each of us. The church may be singing onward Christian soldiers, but the church is retreating in great numbers. Christians live today like they are on a playground instead of a battleground. Let me say that again. Christians live today like they're on a playground instead of a battleground. In my experience, through the denomination that I'm a part of down in Great Falls, There's been times where 9 out of 26 churches are looking for pastors. 9. I've been filling in Lewistown most of the summer, a couple times a month. Whose pastor got called to Arizona? They've been lucky. They have a new pastor called that will be there in November. Billings, Missoula, Poplar have been looking for over a year, as you have. It's tough. And you don't want to make a hasty decision. You want to make sure that they fit right, that they've been called. Author Jack Handy writes, "There used to be a bully who demanded my lunch money every day at school. Since I was smaller than him, I would give it to him. Then I decided to fight back. I started taking karate lessons, but the instructor wanted $5 a lesson." That must have been years and years ago. That was a lot of money at the time. I found that it was cheaper just to pay the bully. So today, I don't know karate. Too many Christians believe it's easier to pay the bully than to learn how to defeat him. We can't do that. Now, that church in Lewistown is about 15 people. Praise the Lord, they found a pastor that quickly. To me, a sign of a healthy church is a church about this size. So I praise the people that have been keeping this place afloat while the search is on. There's another story there about a bully. And it happens to be from the Bible. It illustrates an enemy, a bully, a habit, a situation, a circumstance, or our wrong desires to scare us when we start thinking about the battle in our own lives. That story is the story of David and Goliath. The bully being Goliath. Goliath paralyzed the nation of Israel with his scare tactics and his overwhelming size. In 1 Samuel 17:8, we read, "Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, 'Why don't you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will be your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us.' Then the Philistine said, 'This day I defy the ranks of Israel.'" This monster of a guy said in so many words, "I don't care about your God. I don't believe in your God." He taunted Israel. He belittled Israel. He made Israel feel defeated. He made the king of Israel feel like he had no one to come up against him. And then that shepherd, the youngest of the kids, David, heard the belittling comments. And his brothers didn't even push him. He said, "I will go up against this Philistine. Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine." David looked at the giant, that the enemy of God, as circumstance, said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword, with spear, with javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied." He no longer looked at the giant as a threat, but as a defeated foe because of the God that he proclaimed and served. "Today I will bring you down by the power of God," he said to that giant. "Today I will get victory by the power of the Lord." If this were to happen today, we would probably proclaim it in the name of Jesus. 47, all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands, he said to the Philistines. Today, Christians believe it's easier to pay the bully. But God is looking for some Davids to bring down the giants, not only in their lives, but in the lives of those around us. This new pastor could and should be your new David. Support them. Support their families. Support their differences. Most of all, pray for them. It's a tough job. That's why it's so hard to find it. Not everyone feels called to do that. Let's go back to the text again. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. To me, this is saying, be right with the Lord. Be in prayer. Get groups together and pray for the person that the Lord has in mind for this church. And be ready. Because not a soul will come in and do things exactly the way the former pastor did. No one will do it exactly the same way. One of the things I've had to learn since I left the mission is new persons making changes. And I have to be all right with that. Of course, I'm sure Jim Kaiser felt the same way when I took over. Although I did him a little more subtly than this new person. Change is good, but it takes a special frame of mind to keep an open mind that change is good. When you have done everything you know how to do, stand firm. The Apostle Paul tells us that when we have put on the armor of God that he has provided, number one, he says, be strong in the Lord Almighty. Take your stand against the devil's schemes. And that might sound crass, I guess. But Satan works in so many ways and so subtly that you might not even know that he's working in you. I had an instance at my church where I started holding my pastor accountable for things that he wasn't accountable for. It was Satan working for me, trying to get me to get mad and leave. Not what we're about. It's not what we're supposed to be about. We're supposed to commit ourselves to this family of God that you're a part of. We have to make considerations. We have to pray through it so that we can have things opened up. And sometimes it could be that pastor did things just to make me mad. But it's not all about me. It's about serving the Lord, about helping the Awanas reach more children. It's about getting people into this church so that they can hear the gospel. Be strong in the Lord. First thing we have to see is that it's not by our strength. It's Christ's strength in me. Realize you're in a battle with the enemy that desires to bring you down. Could be desires to bring down this entire church. Could be that he's just working on someone individually. But we know that human effort is inadequate to Satan because of the power of Christ. God's power is invincible. Sometimes we spend so much time fighting with each other, God's people lashing out against flesh and blood, as if that was the real enemy. Thinking that spiritual battles can be won by human effort. That's not the case. It doesn't happen. Only through the Lord and the power of His might are we able to overcome any and all spiritual attacks. There's some statistics out there that are kind of scary. The ones that I have are quite old. Many people say they don't believe in Satan. A Gallup poll in 1995 said that 86% of Americans believe in God. And only 63% believe there was a devil. Newer info says, but not much newer, on average 43% of those aged 68 and older are certain that God exists. Compared with 23% for those people 27 and younger. We need to reach our kids. We need to reach our kids' kids and their kids' kids. It's our job. It's what we're here for. I was listening to the radio on the way up this morning, and I listened to K-Love a lot of the time. But I did have on Air One for a little while, and before that I had on the country station, secular station. They have a little country music Christian time in the morning. And I'm telling you, there were some songs that I want to learn. It was amazing to hear some of those guys singing about the Lord. And one of them had words that really spoke to me about raising your kids the right way. It's not about what you have. It's about what you leave behind. I see a lot of people in this audience that have hair the same color as me. We have to be thinking about that. I spoke with my sister last night in Pennsylvania, and she was upset with my older brother. He has a grandson that just graduated high school. He wanted to go to the cottage in Canada to go fishing. My brother never offered to take him, because he had too much to do. We've got to think about that before we say no. It's a privilege to be able to work with your kids, your grandkids. It's an honor to have them call you and say, "Hey, Pop, let's go golfing." I went too many years thinking that the guy with the most toys wins. That's not the case at all. It's about spending time and making a difference in your children's lives and your grandchildren's lives. And every time we do that, where we say we're too busy, Satan's over there grinning, because he's winning. So be strong. Put on the full armor of God, because you can't do it alone. If you're going to be strong in the Lord, you have to know there is an enemy that is stronger than you. And the only way to defeat him is with the strength of the Lord. Maybe you think it's a coincidence that since you decided to follow Jesus, there seems to be a battle. You can feel it now. When you weren't walking with Jesus, you didn't know. You were stuck in that rut. Strength is in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus. And on that name comes your strength. So stand together. Work together. fellowship together, pray together for the person that he's calling to come to your church. For the family that he's calling to come to your church. In his book, Disarming Darkness, Pete Briscoe describes it as what kryptonite does to Superman. What kryptonite does to Superman, Jesus does to Satan. Makes you totally worthless, totally defenseless. When the two are standing side by side, Jesus has all the power. Remember the cartoons back in the day where they were talking about good on one side, sitting on your shoulder, little guy over here talking. It's more real than you realize. When you think that you're hearing that little guy over here, turn to this side and trust in him because he will guide you through. The devil is not a cartoon character. He is powerful. He is intelligent. He was created by God, but he's a master deceiver. But the greatest news is he's no match for Jesus. So don't give him too much power. He's not all powerful. He's not all present. He's not all knowing. Only Jesus is. So I said it before, teamwork is essential. Looking for a pastor, looking for what the new ideas for your church are coming ahead. But the good news about teamwork is it makes the devil uncertain as to who to aim at. So if you stand together, he just tries to flock shoot, and that doesn't work. Remember, where two or more are gathered, the Lord's with you also. I think policemen probably had this in their mind. Anything you can do, anything you do can get you shot at. Even doing nothing. The enemy attacks in two ways. Number one, when you're ready for him. And number two, when you're not ready for him. Which would you rather be? Be ready for him. Jesus is truth. He's our righteousness. He's our peace. We are to do all we know to do. Study our Bibles. Understand and apply God's Word. Put on the full armor of God that He gives us. Go in strength of the Lord. Then and only then can we stand firm in the confidence of the Lord. See, we have power in Christ. We are in a battle. Some are losing because they're doing things in their own strength. We have advantage over the rulers, authorities, the powers of the dark world, the spiritual forces of evil. In Jesus' name, we have that power. There's strength in Him. So stand firm. Stand firm in trouble. Stand firm in sickness. Stand firm in weakness. Stand firm in warfare, waiting, service, stand firm. None of us wait very well anymore. I know I hate going to Walmart because I don't want to wait in line. Or I don't want to serve myself in a line that there is no line. Because 9 times out of 10, I'll mess it up. We don't wait well. We are a people that expect it, that want it now. And sometimes now is not soon enough.
Amen.
We need to stand firm in our service. Remember the verse, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you believe that? We are more than conquerors. Make this your prayer as we get ready to close this morning. 1 Corinthians 15:57-58. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So this morning I was reading through my devotional, and I thought this was kind of pertinent, so I'm going to read you the whole thing. We're going to put Hebrews 13:15-18 up on the board so you can read through that. But the devotional starts out, pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. From the Old Testament times to AD 70, when the Romans destroyed the second temple, sacrifices in the temple were made daily. Today, however, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of the lips that openly profess His name. The writer lists doing good to others and sharing with them as sacrifices. The sacrifices of bulls and lambs for the sins of the people have been replaced by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus. His blood has sealed an eternal covenant between God's people and Himself. This brought about profound change to this new sect of Judaism during the New Testament times. God poured out His Spirit on all manner of people, young and old, Jews and Gentiles. Even men and women were proclaiming His good news. Priests were coming to Christ. Here's the good part. But fishermen and tax collectors and farmers and ranchers, the guys that used to work for Sears, were now the leaders in these new houses of worship. Early leaders began to pass down this gospel leadership. As the New Testament epistles attest, prayers of our early brothers and sisters literally broke the chains and escorted those leaders out of prison. Pray for us. Pray for each other. Pray for the family that's going to be moving here as your new pastor. And pray that it happens in His time and not yours. And I think you have been. But I just want to give you that reminder to stay deeply rooted in prayer. When that new person comes, you're called to follow him in everything that he does. Hold him accountable. Hold them accountable. He's calling you a new leader for your church. Support them. Love them. And your family. And give them all the help that they need to follow God's plan for this congregation. The battles will come. Satan attacks when he sees progress. And he attacks with vengeance. But be strong in the Lord. Stay in His Word and follow His teaching. 1 Corinthians 15:57-58 again says, but thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Oh, and one more thing. Keep your fork. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for the words this morning. I thank you for taking my jumbled thoughts and making hopefully a little bit of sense out of them. We do love you. We're here to serve you. This congregation, to me, looks very healthy. And I pray that you will bring them the servant that you so desire to be here. And that this congregation can grow and grow and grow. That we can reach kids from Awanas, that we can reach kids from the Boy Scouts, that we can reach kids from any walk of life. And that those kids will go home with a new thought and a new praise and maybe help reach their parents. It works. It's been working for hundreds of years. And we just ask that you strengthen us, give us the ability to keep moving forward in serving you. I pray this in the almighty name of Jesus.